You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we talk about some serious subjects. You know, maybe fights that we don't want to see, what with some substance abuse stuff. A couple serious subjects, but mainly I'm in Japan, and we talk about the delicious beverages that they have here to offer. That's kind of why you watch and listen to this show.
That's right. And we also talk a little bit about that pea meal we ate, which was a lot of fun. In the second segment,
right,
we talked to Dulsta. Remember that? We talked to EMLS player Dulsta of the Philly Union. That was a good time. We break down a little bit more about what's going on in MLS. We talk about shirt companies suing teams. And also we talk about Gianni Infantino all of a sudden being on the right side of history. Whoa. That
being mad woke.
Yeah, I know. That's wild. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! Come on! I wish I knew how to say yeah, baby, in Japanese.
I wish I knew how to say anything in Japanese. I've been surviving solely on Google Translate, and it's been saving my life.
You haven't learned how to say no, I don't play for the NBA in Japanese yet?
You know what? I got to give the Japanese more credit, because I thought it was going to be a thing where I'm just going to be walking around there, but it's going to be like, who is that slender, ethnically ambiguous man walking around? But people... Everybody sees me and they're like, okay, yeah, I've seen this before. Okay, I've seen Nani play in the World Cup. You know,
they've all taken sensitivity training. They're like, okay, we've prepared for this. It's just a dark skinned slender man. Do not call him reggaeton. Don't do it.
But I don't know if you've ever seen these documentaries about like black people in Asian countries. Have you ever seen any of these? They're on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, people just walk up to them and like touch their hair. They call them NBA. That's where the joke came from.
I thought that was going to be the experience. You know what? For the most part, even the babies are like, seen this before. Nobody's weirded out by anything. So this is very comforting. I got to give Japan a lot of credit.
Japanese babies are like, play cool. Play cool.
Okay.
Are there black anime characters or something? Is there something that has helped? I figured you would know, not just because you're in Japan, but you love anime.
There's black Pokemon. That's how people get adjusted to black people.
Yeah. It's just a Squirtle, everybody. Relax. You just keep getting hit with red, half white balls as you walk down the street.
Everybody's playing Pokemon Go. I get it. No, this has been an incredible experience. Yeah, I'm in Japan. I just got back from Mount Fuji. Yeah, you're watching a video of me playing. I don't even know what game I was playing. I was playing a soccer game at a mall in it was called Aeon Mall. So I think that's in Narita. And look, I'm playing soccer as well. This digital soccer that was being displayed on the ground.
I've seen that in malls. I've seen that, like, where you walk over it and the characters on the, like, visually you could like move them around and stuff.
Exactly. So I stay getting touches in. Okay. I live and breathe this game. All right.
You're basically like one of those, like, you're like one of those Dortmund youths, right? 10,000 touches.
Okay. Same exact thing. But I think Techni football training from Yale Everbush. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's always... your Techni. You got the app out?
yes. It's been dope. And I was actually, so the reason I was in Mount Fuji was because I was traveling with my girlfriend is Buddhist. So she tends to go to Japan every couple of years. So I was going with her for the first time. And a couple of people that were in the group, they were from Trinidad. And I met a dude who played, I don't know, I didn't get to find out where he played, but he played at some professional or semi-professional level in Trinidad. I told, you know, We did a show with Shaka Hislop. He was like losing his mind, and then he started mentioning that he's a fan of Arsenal, and I was like, hey, you know, I actually just interviewed Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Hector Bellerin and Rob Holding, and no lie, this dude for real got goosebumps on his arms. He owed me. He was just like, I can't believe
he was like, feel my arms.
He was losing his mind. I've never seen a grown man be so uncomfortable and nervous and awkward. The thought of a person meeting his favorite team and favorite players, he was losing his mind. But
it's like the six degrees of separation, right? If he touches your arm, it's the same arm that Pierre Aubameyang touched.
Exactly. And I've met other people. There's a family that their daughter plays in a U10 team, and she in a traveling team. And she was, I told her, I'm like, hey, I showed her the picture with Megan Rapinoe, and she was like, "Whoa, you're so lucky!"
She lifts her arm up, and it's a black man's arm with goosebumps. You're like, "How is that your arm?
what is this power you have?
I know. You're turning everyone into Christian."
Midas touch, but it's the Dominican touch, the Platano touch. That's the what Platano I call it.
Everything you touch turns to mofongo. Look it up, kids. Mofongo. Okay. It's good for you. Don't listen to the nutritional stats.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Your Thanos, when you snap, it just turns into like fried steak.
Yes. So, yes, this is a soccer show. But yeah, you were saying,
we promise it's a soccer show. I was in Montreal. Okay, we don't got a Mount Fuji, okay? You know what I mean? It ain't that nice, you know, but it was dope.
You got Mont Tremblant.
Yeah, I got a Royal Mountain, so what's up with that, okay? I just ate a bunch of food. I talked to nobody about soccer. Nobody cared. I was like, yo, Wilmer Cabrera talking greasy. Nobody knows who he is. I just hung out. I ate a bunch of food. I did go to a place called Joe Beef, which is one of the it's the best restaurant in all of Canada. It's the hardest restaurant to get a reservation in. Takes typically 4 to 5 months to get a reservation. Your boy got one overnight. Okay. Got it hooked up.
Wow.
Shouts to everybody over at Elena. If you live in Montreal or anywhere near Montreal and you don't eat an Elena, you messing up. There's the hack. Check it out.
It's interesting. It's interesting because when I travel, I go to get enlightened. And when you travel, you go to get fatter.
Yeah.
So well done.
I don't want to. Enlightened is how I showed up. And then I want to get less light from eating all the food. But also everyone told me like, yo, it's a lot of food. You won't be able to perform after. They're going to roll you out of there. Dog, me and my wife put down all that food like it was nothing. And I was like, y'all ain't up on American portions yet? This is a lot of food, my guy? Bring out another lobster bisque spaghetti. Yeah, you
know? And that's just for the
We promise we talk about soccer, right? And it's about time we start. There's so much happening. Apparently, there was an award ceremony. I didn't get an invite, Christian. Did you?
Yeah, it's really an injustice, a disservice to us, to our viewers, for us to not be invited to such a fancy gala. And, you know, we've been invited to galas before.
But we've hosted galas.
There's no reason.
We've crashed.
There's no why we would be excluded.
We've crashed galas.
That's right.
It's not fair.
No, we have to talk about the FIFA Player of the Year awards. And we saw who won. Especially for female player of the year, female footballer of the year, Megan Rapinoe, which is not much of a surprise to a lot of people. But I think what everyone was sort of, anticipating or expecting was what bar was Megan Rapinoe gonna drop at this sort of in her acceptance speech? And
because she brings flames every time she grabs a microphone, she brings flames.
All day.
Fire, spread, everybody gets
torched.
It. Yeah, everybody gets it. I'm so sorry, y'all covered in kerosene, but y'all about to get torched, my guy.
Yeah, this is like, it's going to be a little bit more aggressive than a Blue Man Group show, all right? So get ready.
Who's the dude that used to smash the watermelon? God damn it, it would have been a great reference.
Gallagher.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, it would have been like Gallagher, but everybody getting soaked.
Yeah.
I still did it anyway.
Just, Leo Messi just having watermelon shrapnel all over him. Like, oh, I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
But he's worn some suits to these events that are funkier than that, okay? Dude has no sense of style.
But I think the main thing, too, that we, you know, took on her speech really were the points about activism. And she's 34 years old and won the best women's player. And now it's clear, like, I don't know exactly how, I don't know if she'll make it to the next World Cup, but, or how long her career will continue. But we know for sure that she will, she is very much leaning into an activism role and being much more of a social leader and trying to change the culture in a lot of, areas that are clearly flawed. And it was kind of inspiring. I think she inspired a lot of the players that were in that room, and she really kind of harped on how much influence and how much power the people in the room have, and that they should be more responsible with it. And I was just genuinely impressed. She gave a lot of great shout outs. Colin Martin from Minnesota United, who's the currently the only out gay player in Major League Soccer. She talked about racism with
equal pay,
and how it was handled. Equal pay, how Raheem Sterling, what he dealt with the last few years in the Premier League.
And it's clearly a pattern. What I love about what she did is she decided to take this platform and just like, she's like the person who's given her 2 weeks notice at work. You know what I mean? And she's like, yo, okay. All right, check it out. You always suck. Your breath smells, dog. quit microwaving fish, my guy. She's just putting it all out there. She's flaming the whole thing down, which is what you need. You need someone to take a stance. Like, she understands that, like, yo, maybe her time playing is either done or just about done. She's not playing for another contract. She may not be at the beck and call of U.S. soccer moving forward, or just, you know, soccer in general. She now has this massive platform. She gets to say whatever she wants. So she's taking everybody out.
And what's even more impressive is that she's, she did it at the parade in front of Carlos Cordero. Just, she kept it real in front of her boss. And then now at this award show, she's keeping it real in front of Gianni Infantino, really mentioning about the investment in women's soccer and how important that is. The issue with in Iran with the women not being allowed to attend football matches and things like that. So it takes some. This is why I have so much respect for her, because she is incredibly courageous in instances where she doesn't really have to be, and where people would understand. They'd be like, all right, well, your boss is right there. You're not gonna go in on him right there. You know, it's good.
And she's so, like, no, watch. No, watch what I do. What I love is, you know, she gets, you said she's incredibly courageous. She's like me, but she does like good with her lack of filter. You know what I mean? As opposed to me, who just ruins opportunities for us left and right. You know, I'm like, oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. You know, she does the same thing, but helps.
But she also backs it up, right? Like, she won a World Cup and then she starts going in, right? So she'll talk the smack and then also brings it. But
oh, so there's
just
levels.
The smack and then you talk the smack and do the least work amount of work.
Yeah.
Amount of work as possible.
I'm like,
you're like, yo, how come you don't respect me? What's your deal?
I'm like, yo, this is trash. All right, Christian, figure it out. I'll see you guys in a week.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, I'm like, well, I'm sorry for him, but we really want to make this work somehow. Look, he's not that way all the time. He can be handled. Trust me.
Yeah. You're like the wife of a drunk guy. Like, he's not always this bad, you know?
Yeah. It's a thing with her that I'm just happy when she seems to like whenever she gets these opportunities, because it could have, if the U.S. loses the World Cup, everything that she says loses almost all its value, right?
She was going to be like, the president of the United States of America was talking smack about her, saying she was going to lose. And then she shows up as big as she's ever shown up. I mean, this is what she lives for. This is what she rises to the moment every time. Yo, salutes to Megan Rapinoe. And she's a fan of our show. I mean, she's just, there's nothing she can do wrong.
She's an angel of a human being. So,
and what great taste. Like,
it could have been a, you know, the video, the viral clip of her saying, you know, I ain't going to the effing White House. That could easily backfire if you don't win the World Cup, right? So like, now that can live forever, and it's like, yo, I'm talking all that shit right to your face. You ain't gonna do nothing about it. She has this golden ticket to almost speak on any subject, and people just value and trust her words way more than they ever could if she did not, or if she was not successful.
She should be on the next Comedy Central roast. Have you been able to keep up with MLS at all since you've been out there?
I had to kind of cram a little bit. You know, one thing is, I noticed that while in Japan, any MLS videos that are like from the let's say like the in studio broadcast or anything like that that are put on Periscope, I can't watch them. They're region
geo-blocked
out. I hate it when I'm trying to watch. I'm trying to watch Kalen Carr and Andrew Wiebe and Matthew Doerr talk about, you know, post-game stuff, and I can't.
We want to see their pretty faces all over the world.
Exactly. You know, don't deprive me of seeing those beautiful men. But no, so I have been able to a little bit, even though I'm working on 2G internet speeds on my phone. Bro, 2G, okay? I'm hurting right now. All right. Suffering.
How do you only have 2G? Okay? Doesn't Japan have like incredible technology?
But I have T-Mobile back home. So basically they give me unlimited data usage here and I don't have to pay any extra, but it's only at 2G. That's how you're going to get you. Because, all right, I know this sounds like a very real first world problem.
Yes,
but
it is.
I need people to sympathize with me right now because it's very difficult to keep up with American soccer.
T-Mobile in Japan is basically a couple hamsters in wheels. I mean, that's it.
I don't know the deal, but I've been Wi-Fi, I'll try to catch up with some of the matches and some of the things going on. Things that stood out to me was the news about Adama Diomande of LAFC, the forward who's been having statistically a great year. He's been an important part of the attacking sort of lineup for LAFC. And he the news came out that he voluntarily entered a substance abuse program.
Some type of rehab,
So, you know, they haven't said exactly what he's going through or whatever. But, you know, it's just, again, unfortunate to see, especially with a guy who, a great player, but he's kind of, you know, he's dealt with a couple things already in his short time in Major League Soccer. You know, dealing with racist abuse that was kind of weirdly dismissed and not really handled. And you know, that clearly causes some, you know, emotionally, it's obviously going to affect you. The time when he got, you know, he is Muslim and does not drink alcohol, and then he scored a goal and fans dumped a beer on him to celebrate, and he was not happy with that. Well, so I don't know what exactly he is going through. I you know, like a lot of people online have just kind of wished him well and hope that he gets back, but this might be a thing where he may not play again this year. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, especially with how amazing LAFC's been.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to see something like this, but it's also, it's kind of good sometimes, not this situation, but it's good to have a reminder as fans that these are human beings out there and they suffer the same way we do. You know, people get on players so hard all the time. You're playing like trash, this and that. I'm one of those people, you know, like you just, you're spouting out because you want to see like, you, especially it feels to me like after the invent of like fantasy football and fantasy soccer, you know, we start to look at them as simply stat machines more than players. So when you see something like this, where someone voluntarily checks himself into some type of substance abuse program, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Or like you hear about, you know, players like Stu Holden was very open about when he was going through the injuries, how difficult that was. Even something like, you know, Frederick Weiss. Remember him? The dude that that Vince Carter dunked over? Remember him? He dunked over him. The guy was like suicidal after that. I mean, if Twitter was around, it would have been if Twitter was around. It would have been, you know, atrocious, you know. So you see these things and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. These are human beings. So. You know, Dio, we wish you the best, man. Hopefully, you know, whatever it is, it's not a huge deal and it's something that, you know, can be quickly handled.
Yeah, the honestly, when I first saw the story, the first thing that came to mind was the fact that we've sort of been seeing this in MLS, right? With Roman Torres. Who was the other? There was just another player they got. Coleman.
Brent wasn't Coleman Roman Torres steroids?
Yeah, so I'm saying the point I was going to make was that they are using just banned substances. And then so it makes me think that the condensed MLS season is causing players to do things that they otherwise would not do to either try to recover or try to, you know, just deal with the rigors of what that means. You know, Domi Torrent had a long, you know, after one of the press conferences last week, I forgot after why I came, I think it was after San Jose, he was just talking about how strenuous the season is. And he made the point about how in England, they have Boxing Day, where they have to play like three games in you know, three matches in 7 days. But in MLS, we have four Boxing Days now, because there's so many midweek games and you have to play these three match weeks often. And it's incredibly like excruciating and somewhat even dangerous for the players. And it's like,
especially
this weird
with the lack
of
depth.
Like,
I mean, if we're going to have this such a heavy cap, if we're going to have such a tight cap and it's not going to allow you to have the breadth of players you would normally have to substitute. I mean, even like the Red Bulls have the ability to bring up people from RB2. So, I mean, there's certainly teams that have found ways to add additional depth. But for the most part, we're kind of just playing the same, 16 constantly over and over and over again. And, yo, we're about to go into the playoffs. You know what I mean? The playoffs are going to be another condensed schedule. All this to fit around getting MLS Cup in November, you know, to finish that before international break. It seems like more and more is pushing MLS to this winter schedule, including now they're talking about joining with Liga MX. It's about to be litty.
It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. I hope it's a tough balance, right? Because we mentioned it last year. We were like, it'd be nice to have the MLS Cup and the playoffs in between that international break. And this is what happens. You have to get a condensed schedule. You have to get the games in a shorter amount of time. And these are the results, you know, like we can't, there's no perfect way to do things unless we just completely move to a winter schedule and play like, you know, European soccer. But the one little thing is tweaked and then we have like 12 other problems. So at the end of the day, maybe this is not the right move to have. Maybe the MLS Cup in December is safer for players, and maybe you won't deal with a lot of these banned substances issues or substance abuse issues or whatever.
Or we can just make steroids legal. You know, you got all this travel happening, right? You're all the way in Japan. I was just in Montreal. Sometimes we travel together. It's kind of nice when we do.
It's beautiful. Someday, you know, we need to get away from the kids.
I feel like you're lying.
You know, we need to just treat ourselves. That's important.
Which is kind of nice. In fact, one of the first things we ever did was we went to Montreal, right? It was the first trip we ever did. We went to Montreal.
Yeah.
And I think the second trip we ever did, which was for a playoff game, and we decided to go to MLS Cup that year, right? And when we were in Montreal, we had some food. We tried some food. We said, yo, let's do the same thing in Toronto. We looked around and said, yo, what food is Toronto known for? Turns out it's nothing. Okay. The only thing they're known for is this pea meal sandwich. Right. So you and I were like, yo, let's go to the source and let's try it. Why don't we watch that right now?
It's been another Cooligans on the Road food trip. That's the title?
Hey, city we don't live in. What are you eating?
fat guy and guy who hates food. Try food.
It's someone who knows about food with a friend he should not have brought. Trying food.
I think that works.
Hey, how are you? The pea meal bacon sandwiches, are they warm or are they just served? All right, cool. Can we get three of those?
We are downstairs of the St. Lawrence Market in Toronto, Canada. We Googled a lot of Toronto food. There wasn't a lot of sort of indigenous food, you know? There's just not a lot of food that's born here. One of the things that kept coming up, though, is something called a pea meal sandwich. And I thought it was like vegetarian food. I'm like, no, I don't want that. But it's not. It's Canadian bacon. I guess here it's pea meal bacon. So I was like, oh, word. Bacon?
I don't even know what is the word, pea meal?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't Google where that came from.
Yeah. You don't do the word. Yeah. As soon as you see that Google image of the food,
the food is what I'm
here for. You're like, all right, that's it.
I'm going to be like, I wonder what the origin of the word is. No. I'm like, hey, what does that taste like? That's what I'm looking for.
Get it in my face.
So we got two of them. We got one for Dave holding the camera.
Yeah.
Dave, you excited about that?
There you go.
So first things first, it's on a almost like a drier brioche bun, right? Kind of a country roll, as they call it. I see nice gooey fat on top already.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up, just a bun. A bun with some pork, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
I feel like you can go wrong with it.
I'm gonna go on record as saying you cannot go wrong. In this situation, what Brett is doing is just soaking up all that juicy fat.
Yeah.
Can you see the excitement in Christian's face?
Yeah.
He's thinking about how many ab crunches he has to do to get rid of this. I'm thinking about what I want to watch on the couch after
bacon
I eat this.
Bacon and bread. I mean, at least Canadian bacon is like a little
bit
different.
The best meals that have ever been created have been sort of what we would now call peasant food, street food, food for people who don't have enough money to go get something else.
Is this poor people food? Am I
eating
poor people food?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to be seen.
I'm sorry, you can't do that from your castle.
I don't want to be seen this.
Your castle in Bay Ridge. I mean, look, the loaf smells, or the roll, I should say, smells perfectly baked. Typical country loaf, maybe a tiny bit of honey. No, just pretty standard. Why don't we just give it a try?
I hate that you know all this crap.
Go ahead, give it a try. The taste is almost like a salted chuleta. Like imagine a chuleta empanizado with much more of a cure on it. It sort of breaks apart like a brioche would, but it's not buttered. And the bread is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
this is great.
It's not like American bacon, obviously.
No.
It feels like it's a turkey
sandwich. This isn't even bacon.
A turkey sandwich. This pea meal sandwich is missing vegetables. It's missing, just greens.
No one in Canada's history has ever said, find a way to get vegetables in my bacon sandwich.
Oh, all right. It gets a thumbs up from me.
Wow.
Crazy.
Well,
thank you for watching.
Sir, we were eating this pea meal, and you told us that we got the wrong one. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if it's the wrong one, but, you know, the one. Yeah. Up at Paddington's. Get that loaded. Mustard, mayonnaise, onion, hot peppers, tomato, lettuce.
Wow. Okay.
Done up.
All right. The guy's got a soul patch. I trust him. I trust him. Let's give it a try.
See, this looks like more of a proper sandwich, yeah.
Look at that. Oh, food porn. All right, this first of all, a lot more stacks. Second of all, I see that like translucent sort of deli meat kind of look. You could tell this is a lot more. I'm going to open this up. You could tell this is, you could like specifically tell like that's loin, which is very different from the last piece. We got lettuce, tomato, onion, hot peppers, and honey mustard sauce. Bread is toasted. There's a little bit of like a jus, like a thick, greasy jus.
Jew or Jew?
Yeah. Oh, you know
exactly. Is this a Jewish?
Yes.
There's pork in it.
Yeah, there's pork in it.
I don't think it's Jewish. Not Jewish. It's not a Jewish meal.
It's Jew. It's almost like a, you know when you run and you sweat? Imagine meat did that when you cooked it. That's what we're about to eat. Basically what it is, it's just like the drippings from the meat coming off. Basically it's fat reducing, and it holds on to some of the browning that's happening on the flat plate.
Okay.
So, we're about to eat that. I guess, take a bite and tell me what you think compared to the other one.
Okay.
Try to get a little bit of everything in there.
A lot better. Mainly because of all the things I've added. Yeah, this is a complete sandwich. The honey mustard is, with this is delicious.
It's very good. Honey mustard finishes it off, but the pork is better at the last place. The bread is better at the last place.
I agree.
So if Carousel just started topping their pea meals, it'd be better. Better than two, which one would you rather have more?
I would say this one. But yeah, I can tell, yeah, the other one, the pork, I don't really care about the bread too much, but the pork and the other one was a tad better.
Why don't you care about the bread?
Because I'm not you. That's really it. I'm just not as obsessed with
you.
The
don't
bread.
You don't rate bread culture in other cities like I do? Here's my verdict. Get both.
God, don't you miss those days when we could just eat pea meal? You're out there eating nothing but sushi? What are you eating out there?
The good old days. I've been having, I haven't had anything, I would say specifically Japanese, but a lot of the snacks I've been having are weird, right? So this is Kalpis soda, which is, this is a weird white substance that it's ugly sweet, and I don't know what the actual flavor. It doesn't seem like it's a real flavor.
All right, well, why don't we?
Weird Japanese.
We're definitely going to talk a little bit more about you drinking cow piss. Looks like MLS playoffs for the East, for the most part, are set. West, just one team is in so far. But I guess that only leaves the seventh place in the last position in the East for the playoffs. Looks like New England, Chicago Fire, and maybe Montreal Impact still have a shot at it.
Nobody wants these last few playoff spots. I think everybody wants to, October, they want to be done with soccer and start their vacations because it's getting, pretty crazy, but
hang out on a hammock or something, you know,
we should, let's talk about a couple of the
maybe it's
matches.
You, maybe but they're I seeing can... you or your Instagram, you're playing with kitty cats, you know what I mean? In cafes in Japan, and they're like, I want that. I don't want to be playing games in the winter.
Look, if I can inspire players to, you know, sabotage their own careers to hang out with some kitties, I would, job well done on my part, yeah, okay? I will brush my shoulders off. I'll be proud of myself.
That's peak Polanco right there, you know? Or maybe they want to go to Toronto and get some pea meal, you know what I mean? Like, anything could happen. It's what we do on the Cooligans, baby.
But those cats were really, they were mad. Yo, for real? It's very therapeutic having a bunch of little furry animals run around you.
I'd be like, I don't care about you, dog. give me iced tea, my guy.
This is why TV show. I'm glad that we can do this hard-hitting content right here. Look at this. Look at this cat kitten. He saw me drinking my drink and he was like, yo, run that green tea, my dude.
Oh, thank you for getting us a green tea.
Anyway, soccer. Trust me, we talk about it. Let's talk about a couple of the matches. Let's talk about Atlanta, who played their game. We have to talk about this particular because there was a bit of a scare. They did win the game 3-1 against San Jose. Matheus Almeida thrown out again. I believe this is the third time, if I'm not mistaken.
At this point, did you even play San Jose if Matheus Almeida didn't get kicked out of the game? I mean, What are you doing?
Exactly.
I bought a ticket, and I want to see Pelado removed from the match. Do not deny me my right as a soccer fan.
How come he's not playing the greatest hits? That's basically what happens when people go see Pelado.
It's like, ew, you're playing stuff from your new album. Ew.
No. This is not what I want to see.
No, Blueprint 3 or before, and that's it. Don't be doing none of this 4-4-4 stuff.
Okay, don't be doing any of this post Kaepernick era stuff. Right? That's not what we want to see.
Nah, player.
But Atlanta United wins the game 3-1 in a red card fairly early in the match, but towards the end, two goals basically just secure the win. But realistically, Joseph Martinez getting injured is kind of the big story here. Everyone
is bad. It looked real bad.
It looked real bad, and initially, he's such a tough dude that we're not even used to seeing him in any like moment of weakness. So right. It was a little like jarring and scary that you know such a powerful being could be like he had an Achilles heel, right?
So also, De Bauer was like, "Yo, this don't look good." Like De Bauer didn't help at all. He's like, "Yo, this could be months, man."
Yeah. I might lose my job. Yo,
he might lose his leg. Okay. Yo, I might get fired. It's like, oh man, this wasn't the plan.
Just speculating just a little bit. But it looks like he is that the injury is not as serious as it seemed. If you hadn't seen the injury, basically he bumped into PT Martinez in just a weird fluke play, and his knee buckled in a very strange way. It looked. I think because it was a like, I don't want to say non-contact injury, but it was just like kind of a weird. He stepped in a weird way. It seemed like there was a possibility that it wasn't as serious as it possibly could be, or as much as he was like writhing in pain. But initially, people thought it was going to be months, or it might have been an ACL tear. But now everybody's like, it might just be a couple weeks, and he might make it for the playoffs, which is just insane. Because when you do see the injury, you could understand something bad happening to his knee.
You ever notice it's like the more pain they feel, the quicker the recovery? Like, what was it, KD, when his ACL or whatever it was, MCL, rolled up in the back of his leg, he just sat there like, yeah, there's something wrong with my knee. You know, like, or sometimes like their knee will just shatter and they're just like, yeah, could someone please pick me up? Like, he was in pain. Typically when you see and feel pain, it's a good thing. I don't know if that's not a doctor, you know, per se.
Wow, are you getting your medical advice from Frank DeBoer? Okay, I get it.
DeBoer's like, oh my God, sell your houses.
Yeah, like, the stock drops 2 points. He's like, I got to cut off a limb to make money to feed my family.
I'm selling all like- my kids' toys. Oh, you know what, though? Atlanta United, they're winning, right? And it's not it. Yo, Brandon Vasquez, remember him from Barco Gate? Remember Barco was texting his girl?
Yeah, I do.
Doug, he just posted on Instagram that he's got a new girl. He posted a picture with a new lady. So shouts to him. And also, I've got even more breaking news, and this is good news. Her account is private. So, Barco, you gotta block him on the account right now. All right? Playoffs is set. But it's not just us in this country that be doing some type of playoffs and group stages and whatnot. Apparently Americans out here winning in other countries as well, even in Champions League.
Oh, that's right. And in Japan, we out here getting dubs. You know how it is.
We got Americans out here drinking that cow piss everywhere we go. Everywhere we go.
We coming for that cow piss. All right. Run that cow piss. Dog. So,
we stay well hydrated, although I got to check the label to make sure it even hydrates you.
Don't you know about that? Anyway, we have to talk about RB Salzburg because the homie Jesse Marsh, who we had, we learned a lot about.
The homie Jesse Marsh. He's a homie. You know, we be chilling with Jesse.
No, because we had we learned deep dark secrets through Grant Wall about Jesse Marsh because they were roommates at one point.
Yeah.
But so we learned all his entire medical history through Grant Wall. Thank you, Grant Wall, for that. But Jesse Marsh, First American manager to win in the Champions League groups out in Europe. So Salzburg, they defeat Genk. And Genk was the team, actually, the former team for Alejandro Pozuelo from Toronto FC. So that's the connection there. But the you love to see it, right? Americans doing well. And now all the rumors, he wins, you know, he wins a group stage match. And now it's like, well, now I think we got to get him as a USMNT manager. Because that's all the noise right now.
Because he's actually winning games, you know. Okay. That seems like something we haven't done in the men's national team in a bit of a minute there.
Different player pool, though. They are a little bit better.
Also, here's the thing about Jesse Marsh, and this is why I think it's significant. But also, like, this whole idea that, like, American coaches don't have tactical, like, you know, abilities, or we can't learn tact. Like, clearly that's wrong. Like, he learned the system at Rebel New York, and now he's at Rebel Salzburg. Soon he'll be at Rebel Leipzig, and then he becomes CEO of Red Bull, which I think is pretty dope.
Okay, it's good that there's a path to, you know, promotion.
Yeah,
you know, he's getting.
He might have to do like one or two of those Flug tags. You remember Flug tag? Do you remember that?
I don't know what that is.
It's like you have to make a machine that could both fly, glide and float, and you would just jump it off stuff.
Ooh, okay.
Flug tag.
So this seems like a Red Bull, a Red Bull competition that they would sponsor.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
I think they invented it.
But okay, all right, I didn't know that. All right, so anyway, I'm glad we brought this up.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's having some success. Whenever an American manager does well in Europe, I think it gets people a little crazy. I think it gets Europeans like, what? They don't even call it football, and they lose their minds. And it gets Americans kind of hopeful about what the future of the men's program looks like, what could look like. But I don't know. I don't know what this exactly means. Salzburg's in a tough group. I think they're in the group, if I'm not mistaken. Are they with Barcelona? They're gonna have some really, really tough games. I don't know if they're gonna make it out of this group. But a 6-2 win against his first Champions League match is a very good sign for Jesse Marsh. So
they're in with Liverpool. They're in Group E.
In Liverpool. Okay. Yeah, they're gonna have a little old tough time getting out of that group. So
I
wish them the best.
It doesn't matter what nationality the manager was, they weren't expected to get out of it. So just wait. I mean, if he lost all the games, they'd be like, oh, it's because he's American. So the fact that they beat Genk, and it's always good to beat a team named after a strain of marijuana. I think that's also very important, right? You got to be Genk. You can't lose against Dank FC.
you got a bad. We got it, homie. I'll hook you up, dog. You. I know a dude.
Oh, you ain't up on that Genk?
So, but before we run out of time, I want to make sure we talk about a couple other games that did happen in Major League Soccer. The Rebels played against the Philadelphia Union, and the Rebels clinched a playoff spot, which is crucial for them because they were having a bit of a bad streak. They beat Portland midweek, and I believe they won 2-0 in that game, and then beating Philadelphia, realistically a rival at home. A good sign for the Red Bulls when a lot of their fan base was kind of done with the season and they were losing a couple games, but now I think the energy is a little bit higher, a little bit optimistic. I still think the Rebels are going to have a tough time in the playoffs if they don't maybe climb up a little bit more. I think they can maybe get third. And have at least more than one home playoff game.
Well, I mean, dude, they've only won 3 out of the last 8, but we always say this about MLS playoffs. You gotta catch like a hot streak later on. It doesn't matter. I mean, you certainly don't want to go in limping, but it's about who gets hot at the right time. You know what I mean? And I'm hot all the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm always sweating. So I'm prepared for the playoffs. But as far as the soccer team is concerned, you want to be able to catch heat. So like if now all of a sudden they just go on a streak where they keep winning and they carry that momentum into the playoffs, they're good.
Sure. I don't have all the faith in the world at the Red Bulls and the way they've looked the last couple of
weeks. Of course not. What I'm saying is you can't, you don't want to sell, you don't want to sell your stock. You don't want to devour just because you lose a couple games a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because Red Bulls are basically, they have the devour approach. It's like they lose one game and it's like, get rid of Armas. Not only get rid of him, I think we need to behead him at center pitch. At Red Bull Arena.
And we'll put his head in the tarped over section where no one sits, just to remind everyone of why we don't sit there, and two, why we should win every game, you know?
So, and then the final one, DC United against Seattle Sounders. Big win for DC. Another team, there's a couple of those teams in the Eastern Conference that were like slipping a little bit, and they had a resounding win. Hopefully it's like a battle of who wants the points more, because everybody desperately needs them.
Yeah. So that it's been tough, but like I said, there's only one position left in the Eastern Conference for a playoff. So it's going to get even tighter now. Everyone else can chill a little bit unless you're Domi Torrent. And then you want to play all your best players no matter what happens, man. It's been so much fun talking to you while you're on the TV. I just wish I had a mute button. That'd be kind of nice. You mean just shut you off whenever I want. Yeah. I mean, pretty dope.
Oh, wow. So just people watching you just scream into a camera.
Right? And all of a sudden, people are interested in what that show might look like, okay? You know what I mean? Not everyone is like my mother and only wants to see you talking, okay?
Okay, Alexis Cowherd. I see what you're trying to do out here.
Well, guys, we have in the next hour, we got Duelsta, which is pretty dope, right? We have a really good conversation with Duelsta.
That's right. EMLS player, Philadelphia Union, a great dude. And we had a great chat with him in Orlando.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, On the Volley Apparel.
That's right. All those Gullia shirts that you see us wearing, you may have seen me wearing one in Japan. We got to represent the Gulliest, the Gully Squad out. In every country that we go to, but go On the Volley Apparel. They make all our merch, all our shirts that you see us wear. Just go to onthevolleyapparel.com/cooligans.
Or you could just click on there. You could just click on the merch button on our website. It'll bring you right to it. So that's our web store. That's all of our merch. Everything that we have for sale is right on there. Check this out. If you put in the word Cooligans, you're going to get 20% off. But you're also going to get 20% off their entire site. So go check out some of their other stuff. They got a bunch of dope shirts. They got the OVO owl with his foot on a soccer ball. They got the what was that? The Wu-Tang Clan with the soccer field in it. One of my favorite hoodies. They got hats, shirts, hoodies, tees, tanks, anything you need. They got it. Go to onthevolleyapparel.com, put in Cooligans, get yourself some money off a dope order.
Yeah, is right. Yeah, baby. Because I'm in a kimono. What you know about
Look
that?
Look at you. Huh?
Okay.
Is this like a traditional kimono? This is what? You just look like
You know what a tradition.
You look like you're in the background of like a Bad Bunny video, like lounging by the pool. You know what I mean? With a robe on.
That's right. That's what we do out here. Okay. No, man, I found a kimono in the hotel room, and they have it for, you know, ignorant Americans like me. They're like, hey, we can be Japanese today.
Yeah, so this is just great. Use kimono.
Hey, I took it out of the hamper. I think it's fine. No problem.
Ain't no problem, baby.
Yes, everybody, welcome to the show. Another episode. We're excited to still, you know, not even though I'm not in studio, this show must go on. I mean, nothing's gonna prevent that from happening. And
other than the internet going down.
I mean, look, I will call tech support ASAP, and we'll get them on screen if we need to, so they can explain themselves.
We'll get Christian on one of those phones where you have to like hold the button and the number, and then go all the way down. And it's like all the way back, and you go like we'll get you on one of those.
Okay, Alexis.
Rotary. Thank you, JB, in my ear.
That was a very low donation for a very simple thing.
you think I'm going to remember that? I forget my wife's birthday, but I'm going to remember rotary phone? Nah, son.
No, but I am happy to be here. I have been in Japan a couple days doing seeing some sights.
What's the wildest thing you've eaten so far?
Thing I've eaten. So at the Buddhist temple, there was no good food. It was all awful food. It was everything was cold.
You're like, literally yo, this food, eggs, this food stinks, and they're like, yeah, why don't you meditate on that?
Yes, it's more about like good, not you know, when you think of good food, you don't think of the Buddhists, right? That's not like their go-to necessarily. I haven't really had any just because I've been traveling, I haven't really sat down and like a good meal yet, but I'm gonna be in Tokyo tomorrow or today. It's already a day ahead where I am. Also, I'm running on fumes. I'm incredibly tired trying to make it. I'm going to Tokyo tomorrow. I'm going to the Shinjuku neighborhood or region in Tokyo, and I heard it's really cool there. So if anybody has any recommendations for places to go or eat, please do it. At Chris Polanco on Twitter, I'd love to know. Okay.
Yeah. So too bad there's not caffeine in that cow piss you're drinking, my guy.
Okay. We are all bringing back cow piss.
Yeah, baby.
This is my favorite product.
You know, we stay drinking that cow piss, my guy.
Bro, look at this. I'm just here with my 3,000 yen. So I look, some people say you know, living your best life, flexing on these fools. Here I am. All right,
you got stacks and you got stacks and some duvet or whatever it's called. Duvet. We are here in a kimono with 3 yen and a whole bottle of murky cow piss. What up, son?
What you know about that? This is that's right. A total of probably about $32 a year. Okay, so you respect.
So, why don't we do this? Why don't we throw it to our Dulce interview, right? And then maybe we could go get your stomach pumped and get all this compass out, right? But we had a great interview. We had a great conversation with Dulce, who you probably know, the Philly Union EMLS player. Great dude. Why don't we throw it to them?
Alexis, do you want to introduce that?
Guys, you know, if you're playing video games, you've lost to him, okay? If you play FIFA, you watch his videos and you're like, I didn't know you could do that. You know what I mean? At least that's what I do. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only Dulce.
Yeah, how are you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Come on, absolutely. Yeah. Right away, you can hear the Philly accent. It is thick.
Laying it on, yeah.
Comes in hard, water and all that. How does a man from Ireland end up in Philly?
I'm studying in sports management, so I actually had a meeting with some people down there in the sports school, and one of the professors was saying, like, they've started teaching esports and stuff. And so I kind of want to stay in the industry. I'd love to maybe stay in esports if I could.
What's so weird? You're going to be doing, like, case studies in school. One of them might be about you.
I know. Dude. That's what the guy was saying. I mean, it would be easy.
Imagine you fail that one. No. What are you talking about? Yeah. What are you talking about? I know the story.
Yeah.
I invented this curriculum.
I wrote this goddamn. Give me a paper.
What has EMLS, what do you think it can bring to not only just attracting more people to e-gaming, but to the league itself?
No, I think the EMLS does a great job. I think it's the best league in e-gaming and FIFA. You know,
okay.
Constantly when I go to global events in Europe, all the guys would say, like,
Oh, you mean your actual name?
Yeah.
Which one?
How about Dulce to take it?
Well, Dulce, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And best of luck going forward in all FIFA tournament. All right, guys, cheers.
What a great kid.
Right? Yeah.
That's how I think everybody, after watching that interview, has to be like, hey, that Dulce, that's a good kid.
Especially like him being able to deal with us, you know, like he's a nice guy. He doesn't want to be yelled at by two guys or one, you know, and then talk to Nestle by Christian. And yet he sat through that whole thing, which is pretty dope.
Yeah. You're always one thing we always are worried about. And we've mentioned this on the podcast. It's usually young soccer players tend to be awkward or uncomfortable around comedians. But that I don't think that goes. It's not the same for EMLS players. I think they can, they're comfortable being a little bit more goofy, you know?
Yeah, well, they're used to, you know, talking smack into those little headphones while they play. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
A little different.
They used to yeah, they're used to bullying people over their video games. So they're very comfortable with, you know, a couple comedians speaking a little off color.
And they're all whatchamacallit, they're all like hopped up on Red Bull, you know?
Yeah, you know how these kids are these days. We have our finger on the pulse of what the youths are doing.
That's right. We understand all their tricks of the trade.
Wow. you just sounded like a seriously old man.
That was like, the point of the bit, these, Christian.
I know what these kids got in their tool belts. Anyway, let's talk about a couple of things that happened.
I was just in Montreal.
In America.
I was just in Montreal, and they were about Wilmer Cabrera. Right, head coach
of
the Montreal Impact, who you remember, they fired Remy Gard and hired him 35 seconds later. I don't know if you remember that.
yes, it seemed like they were already DMing Wilmer Cabrera before anything, before they let go of Remy Gard.
It's like a guy tells his girl, like, yo, I want to break up. And she's like, all right, cool. By the way, I'm dating your brother. Wait, what was that? How's that so fast, though?
Things are moving a little fast. It seems like you had a lot of this prepared before we had this conversation.
You were ready as soon as I said that to jump into something. You lily padding right now. But they're doing really well. Montreal Impact, they won the first leg of the Canadian championship, which is a lot like the U.S. Open Cup with a lot less teams, okay?
just only like one or it's always Toronto or Montreal that win it.
And that's it.
Nobody else really has a shot.
But so they won 1-0 against Toronto FC. That's huge. But the game before that, they lost to FC Cincinnati, which gives you an idea as to why maybe the manager or the coach had been fired before. Woefully, woefully up and down season for Montreal Impact. But when Wilmer Cabrera was there, Saputo, the owner of the team, walks into the locker room. Right. And he was asked by Sam Stasekel, like, yo, is that normal? And he was like, psh, yo, when I played for Cali. Right. He's like, yo, the cartel owner Orihuela used to walk in all the time. Now that's scary. I don't mind Saputo walking in. First things first is why are you comparing him to a narcotraficante, my guy? You want to keep this job, right?
Okay. What kind of businesses does Joey Saputo got his hand in? All right.
He's got his hands in a pot of boiling water because that's the cheese. Did you know this? That Saputo cheese. First of all, they made their money on cheese. Shouts to Saputo. And also, that is the fresh mozzarella you buy at Whole Foods is Saputo.
Okay. See, look, a lot of times people think that this show might be like rehearsed or written, or like I didn't know we were going to start talking about cheese when we started talking about Wilmer Cabrera and having his owner walking into the locker room.
I'm trying to cover for Wilmer Cabrera because they're both moving that white. Him and Orihuela are both moving that pure white uncut. The only difference is Saputo's out here moving that fresh mozzarella. You know what I mean?
Okay, you know, one you can sniff and it's not going to ruin your family life.
Yeah, so, and the other one, if you eat enough of it, it will. You know? I mean, both go good with prosciutto, actually. Both go really good with prosciutto, turns out.
Pairs well with some cow piss.
Oh, get some of that cow piss.
Don't ever forget.
Oh,
delish.
What year is that? What year cow piss is this? Guys, I promise you, we will. Go ahead.
I think it's July. there's a match we started talking about in the last show, but we want to get into a little bit more detail about the game. The DC United, Seattle Sounders hosting, DC is hosting this game. When they win 2-0, a great game overall, very entertaining. Again, we had mentioned before that both teams desperately sort of need these points, probably Seattle a little bit more than DC. But the news after the match is kind of what stood out. And I believe there were, you know, I don't know all the details necessarily, but there was some sort of encounter or a fight. You know, some Sounders fans were assaulted, and I know that a lot of it is still being investigated, and they're still pointing out who is exactly responsible. But
from the early reports, it's that they were jumped. They were jumped by a bunch of DC supporters. And I think a lot of times, and we've had to experience this, they keep you, if you're an away fan, they keep you in the stadium for what, half an hour, sometimes 45 minutes after the game to make sure that it's safe for you to leave. And apparently they were only kept for 20 minutes. Security was like, nah, you should be all right. You know, next thing you know, you know, I don't know. Watch out for all those dudes in black jerseys hiding behind the trees. But other than that,
I gotta get home and catch an episode of Veep. You know,
I ain't trying to be here this whole half hour. You know,
look, more than anything, you know, this happens. It's weird in American soccer because this kind of stuff happens fairly often. And because the sport is not the, you know, the main sport in the country, a lot of these stories just kind of just go under the rug.
This one in particular is being reported everywhere. It seems like, I don't know if it's because it's in DC and like, you know, that's like, you know, a big hub for news and it's danger. Oh my God, people are getting beat up. But this one seems to be getting reported everywhere. And it's just being reported as soccer fans, like jump other soccer fans, you know, which I guess is a good thing for the league, right? Like the more that this gets talked about, the harder they'll be on these types of actions.
Sure. Initially I thought you were going to say like, oh, there's no such thing as bad press, but this is the press we don't want to see. And my only hope out of whatever platform that we do have is, you know, anyone listening, you know, for the most part, whenever we meet Cooligans fans, they're all super chill people that are not necessarily and just fighting or whatever.
Nah, dude, you're wrong. Every one of our fans is really with the shits. Okay, you see somebody wearing a Gullius shirt, they've earned that. You know what I mean?
No, wow. Like is that why our fans constantly yell "Sue"? They keep asking us, yo, what them colors mean,
right?
I'm like, well, all right, I don't know what
it's you know, your favorite team is not FC, doesn't stand for football club, it stands for football blub. You know what I mean?
we don't use that letter around here,
right? Okay? We don't play them games around here. Shouts to Young MA's new album that's coming out soon. But in all honesty, yeah, like we hope that our fan, like, you know, when we first put out the Gullius shirts, you and I were like looking at each other like, should we be putting out the, but we realized like our fans are like in Disneyland, you know what I mean? Like, we hope that everyone is here to have a good time. And as much as like, yeah, we get that stuff like this as part of the soccer culture, I would hope that it's not a part of the soccer culture here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a thing. It happens a couple times a year, and it's dumb every single time. I mean, look, all we can say is don't do it. I mean, I don't know who's. Hopefully, people will listen to us, but it's just more than anything, it's just it's a bad look. It's pretty corny, and it's like, you know, when you hear people from Portland or Seattle, like the nicest people in the world, and you're jumping these people, you're going after the vegans, you know. First they came for the vegans,
they're weak,
and I said nothing, you
know. They're weak.
No point, they man.
They haven't had animal proteins, you know what I mean? Leave them alone.
They're right. It's soft targets. Leave them alone. They can't. Well,
I know
themselves.
One guy was in the hospital, so hopefully he's okay. And we have more on just soccer in general.
Your boy's back. Kimono Christian. That's my new name. Everybody embrace it. we have to talk about a couple other things in world soccer. So the news we had, I mentioned it briefly, but the news about in Iran, there are they've had this ban for years where they don't allow women to attend games, which is like, it's such a crazy thing where we're trying to argue about equal pay, and then there's countries that are like, we won't even let them watch it.
I mean, they can hear about the sport, but they're not allowed to watch it. If they were allowed to play, we'd pay them equally. But we don't even let them do that. So
exactly, it's like, you know, there's a, you, they get sent to jail for 30 days for listening to the game on the radio. It's just absurd how ridiculous it is. But you know, people have been pushing FIFA. It's just
one woman lit herself on fire.
That's right. And that is a good way to get attention on any subject. I'll be honest. I'm going to listen to you if you are engulfed in flames. I'll be honest.
At the very least, I'll read the manifesto. You know what I mean? Like, what did you have to say just before you lit yourself on fire? I'm interested. But it sucks that someone had to do that, that someone had to put themselves in that position. And I believe she passed away from the injuries. But nonetheless, she had been sent to jail for going to see one of the games. So this became a huge deal. And FIFA just came out and basically said that Iran must let the women go to games.
Well, it's getting to the point because of the next World Cup in Qatar and just like how kind of things are done and handled in the Middle East when it comes to equality. This is kind of like what the point I was going to make before was like that Megan Rapinoe just really talking about the influence that the game has, the sport, that the governing body. Like FIFA can realistically say can tell a country like, hey, you have to change the way you do things. Otherwise, we will pull. You know, you'll have less money invested into your game, and that can actually pressure countries to move forward and like have actual societal change. So FIFA can't be quiet on a lot of these issues. You know, Infantino also during the Player of the Year awards and everything. In that FIFA gala, he mentioned again about race in Italy and the monkey chants and how we have to do more to stamp that out. And it was even funny. Megan Rapinoe in her speech kind of talked about how that Gianni Infantino kind of stepped on some of the points that she was going to make because she didn't expect him to say that. And it reminded me of like, when you're a comic about to go up and then the feature is doing like your closing bit or something like that. You know what I mean?
I can't stand that. Like I was actually just on stage last night and the comic before me did a bit about intermittent fasting and I'm like, God damn it, man. You know, now I can't do this whole chunk I wanted to work on because of you. Speaking of chunk, that's good, right. Good job. You look great. You know, get off my bits, though.
Chunk.
Yeah, but this also just goes to show how much power FIFA wields, yet kind of refuses to use sometimes. I'm glad they're using it in this situation, right? But like, you could take away a lot of a country, and think about how important soccer is across the world. You could really hurt a country by, you know, banning them or making them not able to go to the World Cup or do certain things and helping them change. Yet they never get involved. Someone had to light themselves on fire for them to take a stand on something. Come on.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you know, look, for promotion and relegation in this country is going to light themselves on fire, and it's not going to matter. gonna happen.
I hope it's. I mean, the commitment is kind of insane if they actually go that far. But I think it is a good thing to have Gianni Infantino at least speak out on these things and be. Do we expect Sepp Blatter to say these things? No, right? Because he's going to be showing all the 8 watches that he has on his arm.
Sepp Blatter, like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you because my diamonds are so loud right now. They dancing.
So I see, even though FIFA can be, I feel as corrupt as possible, just having him say these things in a very, very public forum feels like, all right, look, maybe the Italian FA has to be like, all right, yo, he's putting us on blast. Maybe we got to like tell Cagliari to be like, yo, chill a little bit.
Which is my thing. Like, if you're going to be corrupt, at least use the power you have for good. Go make your money. Go buy your diamonds. I don't care. Steal money from FAs. I don't care. As long as you help and you add to some good, then we're good. Man, it sucks that we have to talk about serious stuff on this show. That's not what we want to do. Okay. We just want to have a good time.
Serious stuff.
You don't wear a kimono to do serious stuff. Kimono Christian.
Nobody takes him seriously. All right. Kimono Chris is a different guy. He's on a much more chill vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on.
Chris.
You
should have a good time.
Look at you.
Have fun, guys.
You look like a backyard wrestler. You know? Look at you.
Okay. Kimono Chris, he just wants to have a good time. He just chat it up. About
he just wants to play. Just drink some cow piss. What's wrong? Well, yo, speaking of clothing, we got to get a cow piss sponsorship, dude. I looked it up, by the way. It's a yogurt drink. It's non-carbonated original flavor. What is the flavor? Explain it.
I drank it and I'm like, this is using flavor. It doesn't feel like it's, it feels wildly artificial.
Yeah. In Spanish, it's calpico, which sounds even dirtier. How is that possible?
This is thank you for that, because I was drinking it and I didn't know what I was imbibing.
Well, it's so a sweetened fermented milk beverage, my guy. So you're getting a whole lot of dairy. Ooh, you're getting some protein in your cow piss. So speaking of clothing, did you see New Balance is suing Liverpool?
Yes, and as an Everton fan, I support New Balance.
I wanted to bring up Everton.
This is a great move on their part.
Because the reason they're suing them is they don't want to stop being their shirt manufacturer. Meanwhile, nobody gives a damn about Everton. Umbro is like,
nobody
fine, we'll do it.
They're like, I think you're hurting our product by putting our name on your shirts.
Angry Birds is actually suing Everton. Be like, yo, we never asked you to put our name on your shirt. Take it off.
Okay, we're just an iPhone app, man. Yo, leave us out of this.
Yo, I mean, why did we even get involved in this? You know, now we're angry. Okay. So the reason they're suing them is because Nike apparently offered £70 million a year, £70 million a season to be the shirt manufacturer for Liverpool, I believe starting next season. But apparently New Balance had a thing in their contract that a clause that allows them to match another offer. So they were supposed to have been told about this. They weren't. Liverpool and Nike are like, all right, goody. We go next year. We going to be you. And New Balance is like, no, we ain't breaking up yet. I'm suing you so that I can pay you more.
It's a very strange. I don't know how you sue somebody, give them money, and then have, you know, are they mad at you? Are they happy with you? It's a very strange relationship. I don't know how they exactly move forward, but this is
that's
it's
like
so
if you
want
to get a divorce
dollars.
And your wife sues you because now she wants to do anal. Now she's like, all right, I'm in. You're like, I don't know.
I don't know. Wait,
I'm very confused. The judge is like, I guess, you know.
Everyone involved is like, hey man, it's a conundrum.
Seems like a win-win, really.
Yes, great analogy, great anal analogy. Anyway, but I think
I'm good with analogies. You know,
it's a very weird, like almost non-problem to have. Like, it's basically just having like two hot girls fight over you. Like, you know, what? They both want to give you so much money.
Yeah, they're like, but I want him because he's wearing a kimono. No, I want him because he's wearing a kimono. You know?
But it says a lot about the Liverpool brand right now, that everybody wants to just get on board because they know that there's a future. Basically, as long as Jurgen Klopp is there, Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Firmino, they're clearly... Not only a great team to watch play, but they're becoming one of the more popular teams. Like, Liverpool is not necessarily known for having the biggest personalities and having that this much like flair and style.
Not in the last decade either. I mean, Steven Gerrard was technically their biggest personality. Kind of boring, you know what I mean? For the most part,
I've seen sex robots with more personality than Steven Gerrard, bro.
Yo, you really enjoying this Japan trip, my guy.
I'm partaking on what the country has to offer.
Hey, listen, this is their culture, okay?
Okay.
You know? You put it in the back of the bar like one of these slot machines, I'm going to try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious what the slots are like on these machines, by the way. Anyway,
this seems an odd shape for a dollar. Oh, okay.
Oh, it all makes sense.
Okay, this isn't a roll of quarters.
We'll be back after this.
I mean, yet another wonderful episode of the Cooligans. I can't wait to get you back in studio next week, Chris. It'll be so nice. We'll get you a cup of bull piss, which I think is the only one they sell here.
Okay, at least look, it's high grade A American bull piss.
All okay, right? Only the best. Only the best. Well, dude, have a safe rest of the time and a fun rest of the time out there in Japan. We miss you. I sat in the seat and everybody booed me, so I'm out of your seat. But you're gonna be right back here next week. Anything you wanna?
I'm just happy to know that the studio is on my side.
Right? Yeah, somebody.
If Alexis. If Alexis wasn't in studio, everyone would be like, oh, thank goodness. We have a nice, easy day to record. So that's
less
nice
headaches for some reason. The Advil's not being exactly used as much.
But I will be back next week. So thank you for everyone watching today. Thank you again, Dualsta, for doing the show. And we appreciate you for watching and listening to the podcast.
And thanks to Gully Squad for helping us get down to interview Dualsta. Well, exactly. Why don't we end it the way we normally do?
So, with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero, and together, what are we? The Cooligans!